The proliferation of fine and private press books in America can be traced to the end of the 19th century, and a new exhibit opening at the Van Pelt Dietrich Library at the University of Pennsylvania explores the history and niche. Joining me in conversation, Lynn Farrington, curator at the Penn Library's Rare Books Collection, and Jean-Francois Villan, whose collection is showcased in the exhibit. Lynn, Jean-Francois, thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
It's great to be here.
We better, for those who aren't aware of this phenomenon, describe first what is a private press book.
A private press book is a book that is printed by hand, designed usually. I mean, it's a rough definition. It's printed by hand by a person who decided to do that for his or her enjoyment.
And what about the end of the 19th century that was central to the proliferation?
That was when William Morris created this Kelmscott Press in Hammersmith in England. And he was harkening back to the Middle Ages, the craftsman job, the pleasure in the job, the union of head, hand, and heart.
So was it an homage to that Middle Age time, or was there a real market need
for this? It was a reaction to the kind of printing that was taking place in the 19th century with all these machines. The printing became very sloppy. The printing became really kind of blah. There was a proliferation of useless typefaces that really just didn't work, but were there because, they are there. Whereas he decided to really do the craftsman, the medieval craftsman job. Kind of the person who just kind of takes pleasure in his job and achieves it and gets enjoyment from that and share that enjoyment with his readers.
So, Lynn, let's pick up on sloppy and blah. How is that craft being executed today?
There are a number of American, now we refer to them often as fine press printers who do amazing work. There's a whole movement in this country, and over the past century, the skill level has just risen to amazing heights. So some of the things that we will be exhibiting in this show will highlight the development of these fine and private press books over that past century, and will give you a sense of how these printers have learned, developed, and the amazing kinds of creations they print today.
For listeners who are fanciers of potent potables, is it an appropriate, if not crude, analogy that this is analogous to the craft beer movement in reaction to, say, Anheuser-Busch?
I would say yes. There is something of that.
Yes.
We would both agree.
So to what extent does this exhibit focus specifically on the use of color, that is in the title of the exhibit, across the spectrum?
Well, the private press and fine press movement's huge, and there's all kinds of things happening. And one of the things that's interesting about the movement from, let's say, what William Morris is doing in England is that he's working primarily with black and white with a little bit of red in there. But when it moves to America, people are trying to imitate what he's doing. But some of them decide that it would be nice to have a little bit of color, that color would add something and maybe make it more appealing to American audience to purchase these books.
So it sounds like it's clearly a marketing decision.
It definitely is, because there was no tradition in America of really good printing. There was none of the great printers that were in the 18th century in England, none of the good printing that was done in Europe. So here, basically, these people had to be coaxed into really kind of wanting to buy the book. And the color was an element in that, in that marketing ploy.
And that was one of the things that Jean-Francois was very interested in early on. He was working with the notion of color and hand illumination, which is a way in which they were doing a lot of this coloring at the early stage. They were actually coloring by hand, whether they were filling in outlines or actually creating new pieces of artwork within, hand-drawn artwork within these pieces.
And that, too, is part of William Morris' recreation, support of the craftsmanship of the early printing days. They were, in those days, the Book of Hours in the medieval times were really beautifully hand illuminated by very, very skilled craftsmen and women. And so that really kind of ties back to the medieval ages.
Let's now talk about the process of acquiring. Are you plundering thrift shops, flea markets, and attics, or is this done in a more formal sense?
Oh, the good old days. In the good old days of brick and mortar, you could go and find books. It's bull now. You don't. First, they don't exist, and they have been plundered by pickers for dealers and the dealers themselves. So basically, it's through contacts with rare book dealers that I've been acquiring lately.
To think in terms of analogy, as a young boy, I would collect coins, and you'd find that Indian head penny or mercury dime occasionally in your change, no more.
Right.
Has the interest in creating this type of book waxed and waned in the interim between 1890 and current day, or has it been pretty steady?
It has been pretty constant.
Recession-proof, war-proof?
It was recession-proof because, what do you do other than selling apples during the Depression? You just go down to your basement and print books. No.
Well, but they weren't necessarily expecting...
Or brew beer.
But they weren't necessarily expecting to sell all of these books. And a lot of these things were done because of love. So sometimes they were interested in selling their creations, but sometimes they were just doing it because they cared about making these fine objects.
Absolutely.
Talk about the challenge of conveying that love to folks who might attend this exhibit and not initially knowing much about it.
Well, what we've done is try to present that history in an eye-appealing way, and that's one of the reasons why we focused on color. So we're looking at color across the spectrum, which is the title of the exhibit, and by that it's not just colors, but it's also the processes by which color makes its way to the page. So you have hand illumination, but you also have printed color. You have all these different ways, silk screening, pochoir, all these different ways in which color makes its way to the page in these finely printed books. And we're exploring that. So visually, you could come in and not know anything about these books and just enjoy what you see because they're beautiful.
The art of the book, fine printing in North America in the 21st century, is what, an analogous exhibit?
That is the symposium that accompanies the exhibit, and that symposium will be happening on February 26th and 27th in the Kislak Center at the University of Pennsylvania.
So I attend the exhibit. I'm welcomed inside. What's there to see?
There's walls full of individual broadsides and other pieces that have been done by these presses, as well as a number of books which are open to show you examples of the kinds of printing that they were doing, of illustrations that they were doing. We have some pieces that actually have original illustrations in every copy of the book. Can you imagine printing 500 copies and then being the artist that illustrates each one with 5 or 6 paintings? It's kind of phenomenal when you think about it.
I can't even form words. That's mind-blowing, beyond phenomenal. Is this intended in part to perhaps inspire a new generation of practitioners?
Yes.
We definitely hope so. And we're actually including an interactive kiosk where we will have a map of the United States, and you can click on it to see a number of these private presses and where they were. So you have a sense of what was going on in the country during this period and who was producing. So it's kind of a complement to the exhibit itself.
And so were one wanting to get into this industry, as it were, is it principally done by apprenticeship or a formal school program?
There are now quite a few school programs, and many universities have a printing element.
Right.
And lots of it is also done still by apprenticeship. Like, for instance, one of the greatest printers of now, Russell Merritt, has apprenticed with two of the major printers in San Francisco before really starting his own press. So there is a combination of both. There is formal training in universities, and then there is informal apprenticeship.
Across the Spectrum, Color in American Fine and Private Press Books, 1890 to 2015, is on exhibit at the University of Pennsylvania, February 15th to May 18th. Lynn and Jean-Francois, thanks so much for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Lynn Farrington is curator at the Penn Library's Rare Books Collection. Jean-Francois Villon's collection is showcased in the exhibit.